Grace and mercy and peace be to you all from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's text is the first reading for today from Revelation chapter 7. We hear these words, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" This is our text. Who are these? We've got a description throughout our text, and it is all very good. They make up a great multitude that no one can number, and they're from all nations. The same words that Jesus used when he said to his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And indeed, they are from all tribes and peoples and languages, because the Lord declared that his word would go forth to all the world. And it's not a small number, it's a great multitude. You know, the church always seems to look like a scattered few close to extinction in the world. But God will have his people too numerous to count. And they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they are clothed with white robes, and they're holding palm branches in their hands. You know, waving palm branches shows up only twice in scriptures. Palm Sunday is the first time, and then here in Revelation chapter 7. On Palm Sunday, the people waved palm branches as Jesus entered Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey. They were shouting, "Hosanna," which means "Save us now," and "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And you know, Jesus was riding into Jerusalem for that very purpose, to save his people. In a few short days, he would be raised up on a cross for his throne, as he died for the sins of the world. But now, in our text, while the palm branches are the same, everything else is different. The mission has been fulfilled. Instead of the cross, there's a real throne. Instead of the Savior preparing to sacrifice, he is now present as the resurrected Lamb who has been slain but risen victorious. Rather than throwing down their garments in service to him, they are wearing white robes that he has given to them. And instead of crying out, "Save us now," they declare that he has done just that. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. It's all done. The cross is completed. The victory is the Lord's. Who are these? They're in pretty special company. They're standing with angels around the throne. The elders are there too, the 24 elders, perhaps 12 apostles and 12 patriarchs, who have thrones and crowns of their own. And so are the four living creatures. This rather elite crowd and choir continues the song that was started in Revelation chapter 5. "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor, power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." All of this belongs to him. Amen. Let it be so. Who are these? One of the elders asked John, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And when John hesitates, the elder goes on to explain, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, and therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence." So they've come out of the great tribulation. Some will try to tell you that this refers to a special 7-year time period just before the end of the world, but that's some fanciful interpretation. Now, there's no denying that things will be worse before the end. The way that Revelation describes it, there will be a huge church that claims to be Christian but actually has denied the gospel, as well as a world that's pretty well completely rejected Christ. And neither will favor those who hold fast to the gospel, kind of like today. However, a more sound interpretation of great tribulation is simply this: life in this world is always a time of great tribulation for the people of God. Ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin, the multitude in heaven is gathering of those who are no longer on earth but stand before the throne of God in heaven. And why are they there? Because they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Blood and white robes don't normally go together. In fact, blood stains are often the worst to remove. But in this case, the blood of the Lamb has removed every stain and spot of sin from the robes of this crowd, not just from one or two, but from the entire multitude. They are holy and clean before God. Their robes are white because Christ has paid for every last one of their sins. Where are they? They are before the throne of God, but the throne is not empty. They are in the presence of God with He who sits on the throne and who will shelter them with His presence. The word for shelter is an important one. It's also the word for tent or tabernacle. You know, back in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was God's temple in the wilderness as the people of Israel journeyed to the promised land. God dwelt with His people in the Holy of Holies, the inner room of the tent, the tabernacle. He concealed Himself there because they couldn't stand to see His glory and live. Stained and unholy with sin, they couldn't be that close to Him. He had to hide for their good. But now in Revelation chapter 7, He shelters them with His presence. In other words, they're inside the tent, inside the most holy place, with Him. And that's what heaven is: life in the glorious presence of God forever. They can be in His presence because the Lamb has made them clean with His own blood. Because He became flesh and tented among them in order to save them from their sin. They are in the presence of God because they're holy, and only holy things can be in the presence of God. And that explains what's not in the vision: hunger, thirst, scorching heat, sadness. Our text concludes, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." So who are these? Who makes up this great multitude from all nations gathered around God's throne with the elders and the living creatures? Who has the honor of being that close in white robes, waving palm branches and singing praises to the Lord? Who are these delivered from the great tribulation, never to suffer sin or pain or affliction again? Who are these? Along with the rest of God's people, they are you. You are among those whom God has gathered from all nations. You are cleansed with the blood of Christ, and you wear the white robe of his righteousness, because all who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What do you see in the text is really your future. This is not a possibility or one of several endings. This is what Christ came for. This is what Christ redeemed you for. Christ has redeemed you for eternal life in the presence of God. That may sound a bit abstract, but consider it this way. It's like in the Garden of Eden before the fall into sin. There, man and woman could stand in God's presence, and God came to walk with them, talk to them. There, because there was no sin, there were no wages of sin, no hunger, no thirst, no pain, no tears. Sin brought all of this as a part of its curse. Christ came and defeated sin and suffering, the hunger, the thirst, the pain, and the tears himself. All of God's judgment for sin came to him. He reversed the curse, and because he has won salvation for you, your sins are forgiven. Heaven is yours. And heaven means being in the presence of God, in the shelter of God, the giver of all good things in his presence for eternity. That's how God designed things to be in the first place, back in Eden. The point of Revelation 7 is to remind you of your future. The world is not the end or your final destination. Your place in that multitude around God's throne is already secure because the Lamb has already shed his blood for you and forgiven you all your sins. Like an heir of a fortune who's in a car on his way to the reading of the will, it's only a matter of when and not if the inheritance is yours. You just don't see it yet. So once again, by the grace of God, hold fast to him. This is a time of tribulation. This time will cease because it's already defeated. Everything that has power to separate you from God has been emptied of its power at the cross. Eternal life in his glorious presence is already yours, where there will be no hunger, thirst, scorching heat, or any suffering anymore. Those things can't be there because they are the result of sin. You will be there because Christ has taken away your sins. For his sake, God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. One of my favorite hymns is the church's one foundation. And among the verses, a favorite verse is this one. Though with a scornful wonder men see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresy distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping. Their cry goes up, how long? And soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Those saints who cry, how long, are in heaven, their souls under the altar in Revelation chapter 6. But that's your prayer too, and certainly a good prayer. We pray that the Lord would come quickly and deliver us from tribulation. But however long the Lord tarries in his wisdom and mercy, we have the vision of Revelation 7. And so, my friends, you know the end of the story. Eternal life, delivered from every sin and every consequence of sin, is yours, because you are forgiven all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes our understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.